digamos, que tenía que quitar su barba. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
To her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 32 says, Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I'm going to talk to you for a few weeks about developing a divine appetite. Developing a divine appetite. Jesus said that you're blessed if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, because you shall be filled. And we know that through an exchange on the cross, Jesus became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. But when we're talking about this righteousness, here we're talking about a lifestyle that you hunger and thirst after the things of God. He says you're blessed when you hunger and thirst after the things of God, after the kingdom of God, after the love of God, after the peace of God, or the power of God. When you hunger and thirst after God, he says that you are blessed. Why? Because you will be filled. God, I think we forget, is the quintessential artist. So God can do anything. And so, for whatever reasons, God created us with a need for food and water. Now, he didn't have to do that, because we're thinking about this as God now. So he could have created us while all we needed is some sunshine, all we needed was oxygen, all we needed, we didn't need nothing. He could have created us any kind of way he chose. But he chose to create our bodies, our natural bodies, in such a way that we need food and we need water in order to survive. And so God, understanding this now, put inside of us, innate in us, is our two feelings called hunger and thirst. Now, if you didn't have this uncomfortable feeling of hunger and thirst, then you might not seek after the thing that you need to survive, which is food and water. Now I know we're so hungry we can't imagine a life without hunger. But imagine now if your body needs nourishment, but you never had any feeling of hunger or thirst. You'd sit on the couch instead of staring in the refrigerator for 10 minutes. You wouldn't go to a restaurant half the time. You wouldn't go through the drive-thru half the time. You wouldn't go to the cupboard and get the Doritos or the Twinkies half the time. You could literally sit somewhere if you didn't schedule it and stay on point and disciplined about it, and you could literally die because nothing on the inside of you triggered you to seek after what your body was in need of. So then, God gave us hunger, God gave us thirst, so that we would seek after what we are in need of. The interesting thing, though, is that just because I am hungry or thirsty doesn't necessarily mean I hunger for healthy things. If I did, I have a six-pack going right here. That's the interesting thing when I thought about hunger, was that God put in me this natural desire to move after what I need, which is food and water, but I have to develop an appetite for the right kinds of food and the right kind of drink, because if I don't, I will go after something that is unhealthy, and that unhealthy thing will continually satisfy my hunger but destroy my body. Isn't that interesting? So it means that then I have to develop the right kind of appetite. So there was this time, I've said it before, in my life, where I had developed an appetite for like fruits and vegetables. Developed it. It's an acquired taste. I had to take my time and eat it on purpose, and got to the place where I would actually have an appetite, long for, find myself desiring something crazy like healthy food. And then I began to drink a lot of water, and I could feel my body craving water. That I would seek after water and seek after healthy food. But then one little bit at a time, I started slowly developing an appetite again for unhealthy food. Now, when I first ate the Big Mac after I was eating healthy and doing good and all of that good stuff, then I would eat it, have a couple of bites, and that was enough, because I was like, boy, this is so fatty, this is so greasy, this is so... Ugh. But then after 3 or 4 months of sneaking in more and more Big Macs, eventually I devoured the Big Mac and the fries and the extra large drink like I used to. And when I go to the restaurant and I'd see that little section there where I could get some vegetables and some salmon or something healthy like that, I would gravitate back over to the steak with as much fat on it as I could find, and I would gravitate over to the fries and anything fried. Is it fried? Then put it on the plate. I don't care what it is, as long as you fry it. And what happened is my appetite was developed again for something unhealthy. Now, when I ate the fruits and vegetables, I was hungry, I was satisfied. But when I ate the junk, I was also satisfied. The difference being that the healthy food and the water I was drinking was continually bringing health and strength to my body, while the junk food was continually destroying my body. But I gotta eat, because God put it in me to need food and to need water. He didn't put it in me to need Mountain Dew. Don't put that on God. He didn't put it in me to have Cherry Coke. He didn't put it in me to have a margarita. He didn't put it in me to have any of that. I developed a thirst at some point in time for those things, but originally God gave me the hunger and the thirst so I would move toward consuming the things that I needed for the health of my natural body. Now, appetite is something that's not mysterious. You can see what people are hungry for. So all we got to do is go driving around in just about anywhere in America, and you're not going to see a whole bunch of healthy food places on every corner. You know why? We don't have an appetite for it. So what you're going to see is McDonald's, what you're going to see is Taco Bell, Wendy's, Arby's, and you're going to see Mexican food restaurants everywhere, Chinese food restaurants everywhere, Italian food restaurants everywhere, restaurants everywhere, and you're going to see unhealthy junk food everywhere you look, because that's what we have an appetite for. And since we've got an appetite for it, McDonald's knows we're going to seek after the Big Mac. Wendy's knows we're going to seek after what they're selling. And KFC knows we're going to seek after what they're selling. But then you got a few odd ducks out there who actually go through the drive-thru and want something healthy, so they give you this little part of the menu. And say, hey, if you want an apple or something, a McApple or something like that, you can get yourself a McApple. That's just to, you know, for the people, so people stop suing us and whatnot. Here's the McApple, okay? But the rest of the menu is junk. We go to the restaurant, you see the small little section that shows you a little bit of healthy food that you can have, and then everything else is junk. And now, your appetite truly does determine what you're after. Am I right? This ain't a health food thing, so y'all stop getting tense, because I know how many of us don't eat healthy food, and you all convicted and feeling bad, and I ain't trying to make you feel bad. You figure out what to eat on your own. That's not the point. We're going to get there, all right? Amen. My wife loves Italian food. Now, I could spend the rest of eternity and never have Italian food. I mean, I don't have a problem with a little spaghetti, and I'll find something at Olive Garden that I could eat. But I just go there because she likes it, and I'm trying to, you know, I tell myself love is selfless. So, you know, take it to Olive Garden sometime instead of always going where you want to go. So we go to Olive Garden, and then she going through the menu like a kid in a candy store. Well, do I want one of these? Do I want one of those? Do I want a double one of these? Well, I don't know which one do I want. I just don't know. Oh, I just love Italian. Well, I go to the one or two same things I always get, because give me that. Because I ain't in Italian, but I smile because love is selfless. So I'm loving Olive Garden. It's wonderful. The point is just to be together. You know what I'm saying? Just want to be together. So when I just go there, and it's no big deal, no big great fun for me, but, you know, love is selfless. And then, because love is selfless, she'll go where I want to go, which is Smoky Bones. Because people know I love barbecue ribs. I mean, sometimes I just watch on the Food Channel stuff about barbecue ribs. For real. Spend like 45 minutes, an hour, and just looking at how they do it in St. Louis versus Texas, and how long they put it in the thing, and just sit there like, wow, barbecue. And so when we go to Smoky Bones, because I have an appetite for barbecue ribs, and she doesn't like barbecue ribs, so she usually just go in there and get a little pulled pork, which I'm like, I'll pull the pork off myself. I don't need to leave it on the bone. That's how real people eat barbecue. And so I go and I'm like, do I want the St. Louis kind of sauce, or do I want the Texas kind of sauce, or do I want this kind of the rub Memphis, rub it on, brown sugar salt? What kind of sauce do I want? Do I want this? Do I want one of those? Do I want? Oh my goodness, I'm at Smoky Bones. The only difference in our reaction is our appetite. We both hungry, but we're not hungry for the same thing. We're not hungry for the same thing. Now, whether you know it or not, God put in us a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst. Whether you saved, not saved, male, female, boy, you have an appetite for spiritual things, and whether you know it or not, God put it in there. Now, God could have put in us, just as long as we just was alive, we just totally fulfilled, but He didn't do that. He put a need for Himself on the inside of you. He put a need for Himself for you to have relationship and connection on a continual basis, a daily basis with Him. And when I satisfy my spiritual hunger through Him and spiritual thirst through Him, then there's health to my soul, my spirit. But what you don't know is sometimes what you're seeking after is something spiritual. That's why God made you, designed you, that you would have an innate need to worship Him. And if you don't worship Him, you're going to worship something or somebody. Now, when I wasn't saved, I was spiritually hungry and thirsty and didn't know it. And so I'm in the club because I was spiritually hungry and thirsty and didn't know it. I was all up in the liquor store because I was spiritually thirsty and didn't know it. I smoked the weed because I was the weed, like I sound like an old guy. I smoked weed. Marijuana. Cannabis. I smoked it. Because I was longing for something real. But I didn't know that I had the spiritual high. I didn't know what that was driving me. But I was seeking after something. We seek after sexual immorality, and we seek after just out of balance relationships, and we seek after gossip, and we seek a lot of sinful stuff. We seek it because people are seeking something. And so rather than me preaching and barking at you about don't drink, don't smoke, don't gossip, don't this, don't that, if I could get to the place where I could get you to recognize that the reason you're sitting at this well and keep coming back to this well is because you're thirsty for something, but you don't know what you're thirsty for. And if I could get you to understand that Jesus is the bread of life, if I could get you to understand that He is the living water, if I could get you to understand that nothing else is going to satisfy, I won't have to tell you to stop drinking it. I won't have to tell you to quit smoking it, because you find out this is what I've been looking for over here. So our job is to just try to get people to understand that what you're after is Jesus, but you don't know it. What you're in need of is Jesus, but you don't know it. Jesus told the woman at the well, when she kept coming to this well, and so He's sitting there, He's waiting on this Samaritan woman. He got an appointment with this woman, but she don't know it. You think you just got saved? Jesus been sitting at your well waiting for you to show up for years. He been sitting there for years waiting on you to show up. And so there He is sitting at the well, and here is this woman who comes to the well every day, and then Jesus is going to use this well to teach her a lesson, to try to get her to thirst after the right kind of thing. And then she's going after the water, and they have a discussion about water, and they discussing about all kinds of things, and then Jesus drops it on her and says that go get your husband. And she said that I don't have a husband. And He said, you're right about that. He said, you had five of them, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Because you thirsty. But He wasn't sitting there so He could damn and condemn this woman to hell. Didn't sit at the well and wait there. You wait till this woman, this tramp, this slut shows up in here. As soon as she gets here, I'm going to let her know I'm Jesus, the Son of God, and you better get it together. You better kick that man out of that house of yours and stop shucking up, or you're going to hell. He was sitting there because He knew that the woman was thirsty, and just like she keeps coming to the natural well, she keeps running to men over and over and over because she's thirsty for something, and she thinks she can get it from a man, but she can't get it from the man, so she dumps that man, then the next man dumps her, and the next man, she dumps that man. Then before you know it, she's thirsty again, run out and get another one. So Jesus said, I'm sitting at this well, this thing you keep coming after over and over and over that's not satisfying you. I'm sitting here because I'm trying to give you what you're looking for. I'm trying to give you what you're after. That's why I'm sitting here. So he's trying to get her to get it because he doesn't just ambush us. He tries to get us to get it. And so he got to let you go through a thing or two. He's got to let you run into a wall or two. He's got to let you trip over a thing or two. It's not because he don't love you. He got to let you fall up in a pig pen every now and then. He's waiting for you to get the fact that what you're living for and after and chasing after, spending your time involved in, isn't giving you what you're after. What you're after is life and life more abundantly. What you're after is life and life eternal. And I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So Jesus is sitting at the club waiting on you to get it. He's sitting at the crack house waiting on when you gonna understand that you keep coming to this same well. He's waiting in all those twisted relationships, just sitting there waiting for you to finally get to that place. He's trying to draw you in and get you to the place where you can see every time you come to this well, you're thirsty again and you got to come back again. But I'm going to give you something. If you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink and I'd give you living water welling up on the inside of you that flows up to eternal life. Like rivers is going to flow from within your belly, because what I'm going give you is just going to satisfy and satisfy and satisfy and satisfy. If you don't have the right appetite, it don't matter how good I preach or don't preach if you don't have an appetite. I brought you to my house and cooked your favorite food, but you was full. I said, come on, eat a little more. You'd be like, no, for real, seriously, I had enough. That's what religious folks like. No, 10 minutes, that's going to happen. How long are we going to sing? I'm just... If we could find, and there's some people out there, there's some in here, but there's people out there, that once they find out that what I've been chasing after so diligently is not satisfying, and they find out that Jesus is what I've been after all of, they ain't gonna be trying to figure out how long we singing. They ain't gonna try to figure out how long I'm preaching. They ain't gonna try to figure out whether we're in an old building or a new building. They ain't gonna try to figure out what time we gonna stop. They gonna try to figure out when's the door opening. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I can't get enough. See, we try to get our young people, our youth, if we try to do, Albert, we try to get, if we can get the coolest band out there, that somehow that's going to get the youth just to come running, because this Christian band is just so cool. Look, they got tattoos. They really rock it out. And hey, I'm for all that. I like rock. I like to rock out. I like hip-hop sound of music. I like tattoos. The problem is, if you don't have an appetite for Jesus, no matter how cool the Christian band is, they still singing about Jesus, and that ain't what the youth are hungry for, so they gonna run after whoever, Kanye or anybody else, that's talking about what they hungry for. So what our main thing has to be is not a gimmick that finds a way to get our kids to want to run to some group, but if we could get them, if we would sit at the well and sit there and try to find a way under the anointing to draw them to the place where they recognize the things that you're trying to draw life from, is it going to get you what you're after? And once these youth find out that Jesus is life and more, then you ain't going to have to try to give them a ticket to see Flyleaf. They'll kick the door down because they're hungry to worship and praise the living God. Boy, I used to get so mad when people would make their teenagers come to church. I don't get mad about that no more. Teenagers get to a certain age, your kids get to a certain age, and you making them do something ain't going to amount to a hill of beans.
So you look down your judgmental nose at people because their child's never here. And then yours, I was always at church. Every time the door opened, and soon as I was done, I was done. And it's a whole generation that's being forced to sit up in a pew or in a chair or wherever they are. And then soon they already got their mind made up. As soon as I'm old enough not to have you drag me up in here, I ain't gonna have nothing to do with this. So it's got to be something more than what we feed in a generation. It's got to be something. We got to whet their appetite. We got to show. But if you sitting up in here and can't barely stay awake because you ain't got no hunger and thirst for Christ, but then you made your kids show up and you think that's going to make a difference? No, that ain't going to make a difference. Been there and done that. What's going to make a difference is when they themselves. The Bible said that that woman kept coming with her water pot. Then after she found out that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, it said that she dropped her water pot and she ran up in the city and started telling all of those men specifically about Jesus. The water pot represented the thing she kept using to draw the thing that she thought was going to give her life. Once she found out she found life, she dropped the water pot and she ran after the living water. So these kids think they got it all figured out. Let's just keep praying for them. Just keep praying, God, that you would do something, that you would move on the heart. Because the bottom line, if they ain't hungry, they ain't hungry. You can scream at them all day long. Don't be listening to that Lady Gaga. They're going to listen to that Lady Gaga as soon as you ain't around. Because they got an appetite. For it's just like me telling you to leave them Big Macs alone. Well, you might leave them alone when I'm looking, but you're going to hit that drive-thru at some point in time because you got an appetite for it. But if you got an appetite for fruits and vegetables, nobody got to tell you no more. Nobody got to watch you anymore. We are not under the law. So God, you can sit here all day and I could give you the Ten Commandments and the rules and the laws and what to eat and what not to wear and what you ought to act like and what you ought to say. And the bottom line, if your appetite hasn't changed, you just gonna act like you eating the vegetables, but the junk food is what's on your mind. What we gotta show, see what changed my life wasn't a rule. It wasn't a law. It wasn't a dress code. What changed my life was a person. Well, I was thirsty and I came to him and I drank, and so I'm not thirsty no more. Sick of trying to figure out how can we reach people and how can we do. I ain't got nothing wrong with little things that we can do and ideas that we have and all of that stuff's part of church. But the bottom line, if you ain't hungry, can I tell you something? No matter how great you think this church is, and to thank God for you that think it's great, but if you're outside of this church building, you ain't got no connection with God. It's just a matter of time before I say something that's going to irritate you and you're going to run to the 17th church that you've been to in the last 2 years trying to find another place. Because God didn't design church for you to be okay without Him. He designed it for us to have a connection and a community so you can have relationship with Him. And through your personal relationship with Him, it's enhanced by our community. My goodness, the only time you praise God in here, you have no hunger. If the only time you worship Him is because you're in here, you have no hunger. If the only time you cracking open your Bible is in here, is because you don't have any hunger. But once you taste of the bread of life, once you taste of the love of God, once you taste of the goodness of God, once you taste and see that the Lord is good, you can't get enough. You get addicted to Him. You gotta have Him every day. You gotta have Him every night. And the reason some of you are looking at me with confusion on your face, it's because you don't have what I got. But if you get what I got, you be as passionate as I am, as crazy about them as I am. Because once you have them, you never get enough. It's an appetite. And you got to develop. When you get saved, now I ain't talking to people who ain't saved. I'm talking to saved people. You get saved, you got to develop your appetite. Just like if you was going to be eating fruits and vegetables, you don't be excited. I ate some salmon yesterday and some vegetables. at Outback. And I wanted to go back out. But then I said, you know what? I'm going to stop just every time I'm hungry. It got to be ribs and steak. And okay, and so I'm going to go ahead and eat something and not have it have to be the most delicious thing on the planet. It's just it's healthy. And I'm going to develop my appetite for something. And so I ate it because it was the right thing to eat to nourish my body. Too many times. Why do I'm not going to beg people to come to this church no more. Either people going to come here or you ain't going to come here. I ain't begging for you to listen to me. Either you listen or you don't. I ain't begging for you to praise and worship God because me trying to put a law on you that makes you lift your hands when you don't want to ain't going to make no difference anyhow. What I want to do is get to the place where this place is so saturated with the power and the presence and the love of God that you can't help but lift your hand. You can't help but worship Him. You can't help but cry in His presence. Just you know, it's just no point. It's, I got a revelation. Jesus said at that well. He said, until I can get this woman to understand that she wants me, but she don't know it yet. Jesus knows how to get somebody that's hard to get. I love those stories about the persistent guys. You know what I'm saying? Because I've never been like that. If you don't want me, I just like, okay, whatever. Even though it hurt, I'll still be like, it's good. I ain't want you either. So, whatever. But Jesus, I like them stories about them guys that talk about how now they've been married for 30 years. But I remember when old Millie, she when we first met at that sock hop, you know, old people you'd be talking to. And then she didn't want to dance with me. And I tried to give her a Coca-Cola, and she said, I don't want the Coca-Cola. And then I said, one day you're going to want my Coca-Cola, because you know what? You my wife. And she thought I was crazy, and she was going out with the quarterback on the team. And I'd sit there, I'd say, one day, that Millie's going to be my wife. And he keep giving her flowers, and he give her cards, and he give her candy. And somewhere down the road, Millie started to think, you know what? What I've been after, been chasing after me the whole time. And then Millie started running, and we got married. We've been married for 30 years. That's what Jesus is like. He's not moved by the fact that you don't want to come to church. He ain't moved by the fact that you ain't reading your Bible. He's not moved by the fact you smoking weed. He's not moved by the fact that you hopping in bed. He's sitting at your well just waiting on you to keep coming and keep coming. Because he knows if I just get you to get it long enough, you're going to find out that you're going to come to this well one day and find out it don't satisfy. You're going to find out the sex ain't enough. They're going to find out that the drugs ain't enough. They're going to find out that this club is dead. They're going to find it. I'm going to be sitting right here to tell you now that you know what you're thirsty for, come to me, all who thirst, and drink. Till we get to the place we figure out that he's the answer, you're going to keep asking the question. See, I got to the place that everything that I thought was going to make me happy ain't enough. To realize that God set it up where I'm always going to have this need. Look, I don't care how rich you are. It don't matter if you're fulfilling your purpose. None of that matters if you don't feel that void, that hunger and that thirst that God put in you. For him, you would never be satisfied. You will feel satisfied for a while, but you will be destroying your life because, Guns N' Roses had a classic album called Appetite for Destruction. Appetite. Welcome to the jungle. Wow. You remember that? Have an appetite for destruction. The enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to do what? Destroy. So he wants to give you an appetite for destruction so that the things that he puts in front of you that will destroy you, he can't make you. He ain't going to put an IV in your arm, but he going to try to get you to think, because he masquerades as an angel of light. So he's going to try to get you to think that that's why sin is great for a while. If sin wasn't good, then as soon as you sin, you want nothing to do with it. If the chocolate cake tastes bad, you wouldn't want it. But it tastes good. That's why you ate 2 and 3 pieces of it. And had chocolate all over your mouth and felt guilty because it tastes so good. Now when your stomach grumbling and hurting and all curled up on the inside, and when you look in the mirror and see them extra 2 and 3 inches around your waist, now you're having to deal with the chocolate cake. But because it tastes so good, because you got such an appetite for it. So if the enemy can get you to have an appetite for drugs, an appetite for sexual immorality, an appetite for, even if he could get you to reprioritize your life in such a way where God is third or fourth, but you seek first after something other than Him, then eventually you find yourself in a pig pen or a ditch like the prodigal son, asking yourself, how did I get here? Saints of God, your wife ain't enough. Your husband ain't enough. Your children ain't enough. Your job ain't enough. Your money ain't enough. All of that stuff can be a blessing to you. But if you're looking for a person to satisfy that thirst and that hunger that you got on the inside, it's never going to be enough. It ain't never going to be enough. And you do a disservice to people when you try to make them your God, your Messiah. Some of you make relationships your Messiah. You don't realize you worshiping an idol God, but you are. Your children can become an idol to you. I don't love anything in the world more than my children. You better love God more than your children, or you ain't going to even be able to love your children properly. The God who loves you is not going to tell you to put Him first so that you can neglect your children. We got to trust God. We got to trust God. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 real quick. Deuteronomy 8 verses 2 and 3. You still with me? I didn't think I felt like preaching today, but when I start thinking about Jesus, when I start thinking about how good He is, how awesome He is, I just get all stirred up, personally. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know that what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger." Did you see that? "And fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Now look at me, saved people. You got to learn how to have daily relationship with God. This is not a religion. This is not a try to follow the rules every day. Let me try to make sure I follow the rules. And that's not what this is about. This is not about chasing devils all over the place. My thing with devils is that I'm chasing God. God chasing me. I'm with God. I'm crazy about God. If in the middle of all of that, the devil show up, then I deal with him when I got to deal with him. But I ain't running around looking for devils everywhere. The demons and devils and devils. I ain't even looking for angels all the time. I'm looking for Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So you got to learn how to develop a divine appetite so that just like daily you get hungry and each day you go after the things you're hungry for on a daily basis. We don't get overweight. No, our nation is filled with obesity and high blood pressure and diabetes and all kinds of different stuff that's direct result of the way we eat. Which is a direct result of what we are hungry for. Why do you think they had them commercials, those fast food commercials? And then that quarter pound with cheese ain't never looked like that look on a commercial. Pizza Hut ain't never looked that good. I mean, it looks like a portrait. It's like you could just frame the picture of that stuff and put it on the wall. and put it in a gallery. It's not real. They do that because they're trying to get you to a place where you hungry for what they're selling. And for too long, we've been hungry for what the devil is selling us, and we can't make a difference on this earth. And so every day for 6 days, manna in the wilderness would fall. And it, manna means what is it? Because they don't know what it was. Like some kind of wafer, they don't know. But they didn't know, what do you call it? What is it? But it would rain down from heaven. Just imagine with me, because this did happen. So every day in the wilderness, manna's coming down. And so 6 days, God told them, you go out and gather up your portion of manna, and that sustains you for the day. Now on the sixth day, he said, you get a double portion of it because you rest on the seventh day, the Sabbath, so I want you going out gathering up the manna, so you got enough. Other than that, if you tried to take more than your portion, it was going to rot. If you didn't go out and get it, it was going to rot in the field. I wonder how many words God has spoken that's rotten in your field. Well, you still go, I just don't understand why God won't come through. I wonder how many words. So every day this man is coming down, and then they're going out and they're gathering it up. And then Jesus' disciples come up to him one day and they said, Jesus, could you teach us how to pray? And one of the things he said is, give us this day. When you ask the Father, ask him this, give us this day, our daily. He said that. The manna that came down from heaven is talking about him, because he's the bread that came down from heaven. He's the bread of life. So every day I got to gather up the spiritual nourishment I need from Jesus so that I can be fed and nourished spiritually and healthy and strong. But if you can't open your Bible, then your manna just rotted for that day. And you can't gather up, and I've done this before. I had such an incredible time with God that 2 days after that, I ain't spent no time with God, thinking that I'm so full because of that day. Don't work that way. The bread he had for that day was for that day. See, he knows the jerk that's going to cut you off in traffic that day. He's trying to give you something to nourish you that day. He knows the temptations that's waiting on you on that day. And he's got a word for you on that day. That's why I like that daily devotional that says our daily bread. Because God has a word for you every day. Whether it's something that you just earth-shattering word or not, it's nourishment. It's just like a meal. Some meals are super memorable, and then some of them you don't remember, but all of them are nourishing you in some way. Sometimes I remember some experience I had with God, sometimes I don't, but because I go out and seek my manna every day, he nourishes me because he rains it down for me daily. Why you think it's so hard? Why you think it's so hard to pick your Bible up? Why you think you can think of seven things else, other things you can do except pray? Why is it that you get so distracted when you pray? Why is it so easy to fall asleep when the preacher's preaching? Why is it, have you ever asked yourself these questions? The reason it's so easy is because the enemy doesn't want you to get what's going to nourish and build you up and make you strong and put your foot on his neck. So every day, that's all I'm saying, you got to develop an appetite. There used to be a time. Remember I told you that there was a, you look around America, you see what we hungry for. If you look on television, you see what we got an appetite for. Well, when it comes to your life, all you got to do is just take an analysis of your life. See what books are around you. See what movies are all around you. See what you do throughout the day, and then you'll see what your priorities are. You'll see what you're seeking after. You'll see what you're hungry for. There were Bibles in my house when I didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. Everybody got a Bible somewhere in the house, usually, up on their bed with dust on it, some Bible somewhere you got. And then when I didn't want nothing to do with Jesus, didn't have an appetite for him, That same Bible. Sat in the house collecting dust, didn't even know where it was at. But then when I got a hunger and thirst for righteousness, He said, I'm going to fill you. And so I would read the Bible and devour it. And I would read books about Him and I would watch preachers and I would laugh to myself. I can't believe I'm watching this preacher on TV instead of watching whatever this program is. It's because I got an appetite. And if you don't develop a divine appetite, you won't be filled. That's what I'm saying. If you don't get an appetite for Jesus, you're going to have to keep coming to your well till you figure it out. Unless you think that when we were kids, we like, boy, I sure dream one day I'm going to have a dysfunctional relationship. And I'm going to neglect my children. And I'm going to be addicted to porn. Oh, I can't wait. We got that way because we had an appetite for destruction. But when you get saved, your appetite has to change. So that you long for the living water and you long for the things of God. Let's look at 1 Peter. First Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In the NIV, it actually says to crave pure spiritual milk. So how do you grow? You grow from the Word, and you got to crave the Word. You remember the old stereotype? I don't know if it's a stereotype or not, but pregnant women and how they have cravings. Did any of you ladies have cravings when you were pregnant? And so you'll see, like on TV sometimes, you'll see some lady pregnant, and then at 2:15 in the morning, her husband has to get up and go get a jar of pickles and some ice cream. And she got to dip the pickle in ice cream. She's just craving it. And there's no sleeping for the guy until he go get what she's craving for. That's what you got to be like. When you get pregnant with the goodness of God, when you get pregnant with the love of God, when you get pregnant with the things of God, you start craving His Word. And you got to have it. When you have a craving, you just got to have it. You can't think about nothing else till you get what you're craving. If you don't get a craving for God's Word, because some of you crave relationships, that must be something that needs to be said. You keep craving relationships. Like Dr. Phil says, how's that working for you? It's because you want something that the man can't provide. Ain't gonna never be. For some of you ladies, there ain't never gonna be a man good enough for you. Till you fall in love with the Son of Man. Because guess what? We men, we make mistakes. And we're not perfect. So whatever, we usually get this thing in our head. That if I just had this thing, if I just had that thing, if I just had some of this or more of that, if I just had a bigger house, if I just had, and none of that's going to do nothing for you because God designed you that you will not be satisfied until you eat His body and drink His blood.
I'm going to end on this and leave to the. You're going to have communion. Let's look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard it, He departed from there by boat to a deserted place by Himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed Him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away
that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took 5 loaves and 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. If you go on to chapter 15, you read about how he did it with 4,000 or more people. Just a little while later. Now what's the point here? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So what makes a powerful church? Hunger. Oh, if they just had a better... No, hunger. Without hunger, it don't matter. You know why I think God fills certain ministries? Because those people are hungry, and they have men and women of God who know how to take what little bit of talent they got, what little bit of gifts they got, what little bit of anointing they got, take it to God, let Him bless it, and then He multiplies it to meet every need in it. How do you think some of you come to me, and this is just a smaller group, just say, well, it seemed like every time I come in here, you say what I needed to hear. I'm like, every time you came in, you said exactly what. We were just talking about that last week. You know why? Because I learned how to take the little. That's why I'm so serious about prayer around here. That ain't no game. That we got to do it. Because I know how to take my little bit of what I got, go to Jesus, and say, Jesus, if you bless and anoint this word, it'll meet every need that's in there. There's people struggling with addictions. There's people struggling with homosexuality. There's people that's struggling in their relationships. People struggling in their finances. There's people that's dealing with depression. There's people that's dealing with all. I don't know what all these people need to hear or not hear. But if I know, if I take the little bit I got, you're going to bless it, multiply it, and distribute it. And everybody's going to be full. And it's going to be enough left over to feed myself. See, it's something about Jesus that I like in this story. First of all, because when I read the Bible, I get up in there. Like my mother-in-law talks about how when she watches a movie and her daughter's the same way, and they have the same expression when they watch the movie. They'll watch a movie and they just totally engrossed in it. And she said, I don't know why I'm like that. It's just that I've always been that way. When I read something or if I watch a movie or something, I put myself right in the middle of it. And so there's 5,000 people out there. He don't have a microphone. Now you can't barely hear me in here with a few people without a microphone. It's 5,000 people out there and he doesn't have a microphone and they all hear him. One of the Gospels said that they were out there for 3 days. 3 days? If I ain't quitting by noon, y'all gonna start thinking about China Garden. Three days these people were following him. Thousands! This one, you was like, why can't we just have a little church? Because why are there always multitudes when I read in the Bible everywhere Jesus at is multitudes? Multitudes of people following around for 3 days. And so he's going to show naturally what's going on spiritually. Because he's not like, I don't know what else to say, it's been a day and a half. As long as they was hungry, he was feeding. As long as they wanted it, he was giving it to them. As long as they wanted revelation, it was pouring out. So you got to see in the Gospels, I've been studying the Gospels at least once a year. I just study the Gospels. I just read, not for the whole year, but I'll read the Gospels back to back and just get in there and just want to know Jesus more and see them, understand them better. And so I just keep noticing that this theme that there is always this spiritual and natural parallel. That if Jesus heals the blind, which he does and still does through us, naturally, He also heals us of blindness spiritually. Amazing grace, I was blind, now I see. That if He heals somebody naturally of paralysis, it's to show you that spiritually He heals you, so now you can walk with God when you couldn't walk with Him before. If you had leprosy naturally, and Jesus, who was clean, who's not supposed to touch the unclean, says to the unclean, I am willing, and touch them, and immediately they're clean, is to show us our righteousness. That as unclean as you may be, as soon as you went to Jesus, He touched you, and you became righteous, and you're never going to have leprosy again. It's always this parallel that He would have. And so you see in this story a parallel. And so you see what He's showing us naturally, that this is what's happening spiritually. Something about Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If there's some people hungry around Jesus, He gonna have to give them something to eat. He was like, it's 5,000 more people. Where are we supposed to get some food for? He said, you feed them. What you got? Give it to me. Now give it to them. Because as long as this people sitting, I don't care if it's 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, or 10,000. If they sitting somewhere and they hungry for me, I'm the bread of life and I'm going to feed them. If they thirsty, then they're going to have water come out of a rock in the wilderness, because I am the living water. As long as you hungry for God, you're going to be filled. As long as you're thirsty for God, He's going to quench your thirst. So if a city gets hungry for Jesus, then we'll have a move of God, because God will say, wait a minute. There's some people in Piqua. I know it's some people in New York, but wait a minute. These people in this little town called Piqua are hungry for me. So whatever you little preachers got, give it to me and I'm about to multiply it. Hey, saints of God, this is a two-way street right up in here. This ain't no stand-up comic and you sitting there judging whether it's funny. This is a two-way street. That's how it goes. Hungry, get fed. If you ain't hungry, don't get fed. You know why this is coming out me like this today? Because you're hungry for it. And because you're hungry for it, I keep trying to shut up, but I gotta keep proclaiming the gospel, because there's some people who are hungry for God. It's about hunger. When the king's mighty men gathered on Wednesday, I like that better than the men's group came together. When the king's mighty men gathered on Wednesday, I was talking about Jesus and the two times He ever said anything about great faith. And both of the people He said He had that had great faith were Gentiles. They wasn't even Jewish, i.e. they weren't the people of God. It was a centurion soldier. And there was this Canaanite woman. And out of all of Israel, the people of God, He never said they had great faith. But a centurion soldier who didn't know the scriptures, didn't know nothing about nothing, just saw Jesus, understood He had authority, sent for Him to heal His servant. And Jesus said, I haven't seen so great faith in all of Israel. A Canaanite woman. That's a Gentile. That He called a dog. Told her three different times, leave me alone, woman. Ignored her completely one time. She's like, could you heal my daughter? He was just like. Now she didn't go, you know what, He rejected me. She was like, nah, there's something about Him. And so she kept following Him, said, could you heal my daughter? And then He said, you know, the healing is the children's bread. And she said, yeah, well, could you heal my daughter? And then He said, listen, you little dog, it's not for you. And then the woman said, listen, even dogs get crumbs from the master's table. And He said, oh, I haven't seen such great faith. When Jesus is telling His own disciples that, who do men say that I am? Because they ain't figured it out yet. He goes to a place where people are half-breeds. They mixed. They were hated by the Jews because they weren't 100% Jewish. They was part Jew and part that, and they hated them. They go out of their way to go around Samaria so that they wouldn't become unclean going in the midst of those people. But Jesus sat down at a well to talk to a Samaritan woman, and she dropped a water pot because he told her who he was, and she shared it with the world. Could it be that people outside the building are hungry for God? And the people inside are dissatisfied because you lost your appetite. That's why I ain't trying to figure out how to get somebody else's sheep and get somebody else out of somebody's church. I want people who blind. I want people who lame. I want people who broke down. I want people who are addicted. Because once they find out that Jesus is the bread of life, they will fill this place. It goes both ways, saints of God. I ain't in this by myself. This goes both ways. If you ain't hungry and you don't have an appetite, then you don't eat. And God will shift you out and shift somebody in that's got an appetite for Him. Because I'm telling you how this works. That the bottom line is you got to be hungry for God. Not coming to here seeing what I'm going to say to entertain you this week. You got to be hungry for God. That's why I asked you to come up in here and pray before service so that you can pray that the man of God get the food that I need to satisfy my hunger. It goes both ways. I'm trying to get you to understand. It goes both ways. And Jesus, when he said he marveled at this centurion soldier's faith, there's only two places in Scripture where Jesus ever said he marveled. One, because of the great faith of the centurion soldier, and two, because of the unbelief of the people in his own hometown. Now, one of the most amazing statements in Scripture to me is the Son of the Living God. With Him, all things are possible. And all through the Gospels, you see Jesus, and He brought all the sick, and it says, and He healed them all. And He goes to His hometown. And because they don't see that he's the Messiah, and they see, well, you're just the guy that's the carpenter's son, so on and so forth. He said he marveled at their unbelief, and he could not do any miracles there. This ain't about New York is more important than L.A., and L.A. is more important than this place or that place. It's just God looking for hungry people. And if He finds some hungry people, He gonna show up. So as long, listen, this is a prophetic word, as long as this apathetic, don't care, religious, bound up city keeps sitting around like they ain't hungry for God, we will never have a move of God, and God will send every man and woman of God to a place where they're hungry. So we better start praying for hunger and thirst, because that's what he responds to. Come on, stand up and give him some praise up in this house.